Hey everyone, welcome to Push My Buttons. I am going to be your host for tonight because Luke is off doing fatherly things. This is Dungeon Master Mike, and to my digital left, we have... Actually, we didn't specify who's going to be on the left.
Can I be on the left?
Yeah, you'll be on the left.
Yes! I like the left. Mm-hmm. Your panda pad is here at work, like always. Blah, blah.
And then we got...
Captain Platinum's here.
Yep. So normally when Luke is gone, we always make the mistake of saying this is going to be a shorter episode than normal. So I'm not going to promise that. But we are just kind of going a little bit off the cuff tonight. We're just going to kind of, again, just do kind of an easier chat. I don't have very many news items, but I do have plenty of games that I've been playing. So let's actually quickly go over just some of the brief news items and we'll commentate on that. And then we will talk about the games because I got a lot more to say about games than actual news. But did you guys hear about the, aside from like the really brief briefing that I gave you, but you heard about the controversy with EA?
I have not.
Yeah. I mean, I heard about it when Battlefront 2 came out. That was a huge deal. That came out with that.
Yeah, Panda Pat, you remember the Battlefront 2 debacle, right? With the loot boxes and pride and accomplishment and all that?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was kind of what kicked off the whole loot box controversy and discussion. But really, it has traveled to FIFA Ultimate Team mode, which is their soccer game. And EA gets the majority of their cash flow from the FIFA games in Europe. That's where they get the most of their money. But whatever happens with FIFA is going to pan out to the rest of their games. So FIFA is always a big talking point. But it started off with Battlefront 2.
Yeah. Is there anything in Madden? Don't they do the same thing with Madden as well, like they do with FIFA?
They do. Does EA do Madden?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, they do, but FIFA is the one that's on the top of the list. It's also the most lucrative sport in the world. So, it's... And whatever happens with FIFA is going to go out to their other games. So, it's kind of like the main one that EA is concerned about. But there's also... Last episode, we talked a little bit about how EA is now kind of like... They were blindsided by the information that single-player games are actually fun, and they sell. And when they put, what was it, free-to-play stuff? Not free-to-play. What am I looking for? A live service stuff in a game like Anthem. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to make a bunch of money, right? So they got slammed with that news just recently. But lately, with the loot box controversy that solidifies our talking points was the fact that EA has been fighting a legal battle in Europe for quite some time about the efficacy of loot boxes with Ultimate Team mode. England and the BBC did a bunch of, I wouldn't call it expose, but they did a ton of reports about gambling addictions with kids and people that come off of gambling habits and things like that, and how loot boxes kind of promote gambling. And EA's defense is always, there isn't an actual money market when it comes to these packs. That's their only legal defense. I'm sure it's a little bit more nuanced than that. Like, you can't turn in prizes for cash, but there's certainly, you can't spend cash to get specific prizes. That's one side of the argument. Well, it turns out that there was, a leak, or there was a big old issue or like a screenshot of conversations that happened between EA employees, not sanctioned by EA, but they were EA employees that took cash payments of upwards to like 800, I think it was £800, to give players a pack that had all of their teammates that they wanted in it. So, like, someone ran the math. It was something like the specific screenshots that came out, it would cost a person on average about $2,000 to get if they were just purchasing loot boxes on the regular. But they actually would in turn save a bunch of money by paying 800 pounds to like this black market that was run by EA employees, and they would get a single pack with everything that they wanted in it. And this just got released on the Twitter and Reddit. And now EA is in a lot more financial difficult, like they're in a lot more financial, like dire straits or legal dire straits, because now this has come out as evidence against them. They have created a platform where half of their defense argument is just evaporated. And it can be proven that you can pay for very specific prizes, which kind of goes into part of their defense. So they're hurting a lot from it. I don't know how much you guys have been following the loot box argument since Battlefront, because I think it was probably at its peak during Battlefront 2.
Yeah, that's when I heard the most about it. And like in the Galaxy of Heroes game I'm done, which is Capital Games, which, you know, is works with EA to do it, you know, and they're not exactly loot crates, but like they'll do character drops where, you know, you have your chance of 330 shards to fully unlock the character or five. And, you know, so you have your chance, you're gambling at what you're going to get. And that's, yeah, I feel it's really teaching people how to gamble. It's, you know, and you can gamble poorly. I do a card trader game as well. And man, the amount of stuff that you could waste away in that game is insane if you really put money into it. I just do the free stuff just as like something to do for fun.
Mm-hmm.
I try really hard not to get into games like that, because I will throw away money on shit like that. Like I've been playing this, or I was playing this mobile game that I started a couple years ago, and it kept irritating me because I didn't want to spend money on it. And so finally I gave it up and I started again last year. And I've probably thrown $150 in it in the last, like, I want to say 6 months. And I just barely was like, I can't do it anymore. Like, I deleted the app from my phone. I spent $20 on it last week and I deleted the app this week. And I was like, I can't do it anymore. I got to stop spending money on this stupid game.
Well, yeah. I think that goes into the marketing mindset that these companies have. There was a very famous video. Oh, man, I really wish I knew more of it, so I just didn't become a nebulous Dungeon Master Mike said this on the podcast type thing. But I can give Jim Sterling, well, previously known as Jim Sterling. The show is Jim Sterling, the Jimquisition. But there was discussion about this, I guess it was sort of like a seminar on the show, and there was a speaker, and the speaker was talking about how to hook and sync potential players and get the ones that are called whales. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that term, a whale.
Oh, yeah. Yep. In Galaxy of Heroes, there's dolphins, there's whales, and then there's krakens.
What are dolphins?
They're the guys kind of like, I would say, Panda Pat in her game, where she was saying it's like, I spent like 150 over the last 6 months. You know, they're dabbling in like maybe $10 a month. I feel a whale is, you know, somewhere like $100 a month or so, maybe even a little bit more. Your krakens are the ones that are just like anything new that comes out, they're just like dumping hardcore.
Weird to me. One of the guys that I was in the guild that I was in, I found out he's like in his 60s, and I was like, oh, it makes so much sense now, because he's got like 5 accounts. And he's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, you have disposable income. He's like, no, I don't. I just play once in a while. And I'm like, you have 5 accounts. Like, it took me a year just to get my account to the second to end level, and now it's going to take me another year to get to the end level.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask what game this was?
Lords Mobile.
I haven't heard of that one.
I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, just a weird mobile game that It's got a big following. The only reason I started playing it is because I read these adult online comics.
Pat. You and your sim porn.
It costs money. And so, and I thought it would only take like a month to do. It ended up taking 4 months to get to level 15. And I got 260 coins to go towards this reading app that I was doing. So,
oh my gosh.
It got me into one of those games. The only thing that's ever done that, the only other mobile game I've done that much with is the dragon breeding game.
Again, that's one I haven't heard of.
So, Mike, for you, is whale kind of the what I thought, or are you kind of going your whale is what I was saying is a kraken?
Well, I think a whale is a kraken. I think with Galaxy of Heroes, yeah. Because from what I understand, it's very popular, and a lot of people play it. Probably one of the more popular, mobile games out there. I could be wrong on that, but because of that, there is a need for a classification of the type of players that spend certain amounts of money. I know EA has it down to a science. So it makes sense that they would have different categories like dolphin, whale, and kraken.
But again, I don't know if that was EA that came up with those. It was just what I would hear the YouTubers call them back in the day.
Right.
And I haven't really heard them use kraken lately, but they'll definitely use the term whale lately. I've heard.
Well, there's a difference between like a kid who spends all his allowance on the game, which may be, I don't know, like $20 a week, and then you're like, oh, I gotta spend it all on the game. Versus, a 60-year-old adult who spends most of their disposable income, right? Percentage-wise, like percentage of their income, they may be spending close to the same amount, but the older adult can spend like huge volumetric sums of money compared to the kid. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I can see that there is a need for classification, but the way how I use the term whale is someone who spends what can be argued as an unreasonable amount of money over a short period of time. So back to the original point on the Gymquisition, there's discussion about this guy who did a seminar about how to hook and sink whale players. And it's all very marketing 101, but the way in which the guy speaks about players like commodities is really off-putting. And it really goes to show how players are just cash cows. I don't remember what my original point was to bring up that seminar, but I'm just going to reel it back in, pun intended, to the fact that EA likes to sucker money out of people and that this exposure is really bad for their legal defense. Personally, I hope Ultimate Team Mode gets completely revamped and then EA starts to leave they're never going to get rid of the live service stuff, but I hope they focus less on it. But aside from that, that's kind of the end of that piece of news. The other piece of news I wanted to bring up was, and this should be pretty quick, I just kind of found it funny, but everyone knows about like the complete screw up that Fallout 76 was. There isn't very much news about it now because Fallout 76 is in a workable state, but it took a long ass time for it to get to that point. And now that Microsoft has bought Bethesda, Todd Howard was quoted in saying that this purchase can save Bethesda from making mistakes similar to what they made in Fallout 76. Because in a statement, he had said, there's very little that we did not screw up on when it came to Fallout 76. So it's nice because the biggest quote that comes from Todd Howard about it is 16 times the detail and very little of like admitting to the fact that they screwed up on that game and that they are continuing to figure out how to make it work. And now this is a quote of Todd Howard being like, yeah, we have to turn the reins over to someone because we're just, the chances of us doing this again with our quality control, especially with Skyrim 6 and what's their new game that's coming out? It's not Starbound. It's like, I forget what it is. It's supposed to be like another space game. But yeah, like they feel like with Microsoft behind them now, chances of them messing up these games to the degree of Fallout 76 is less. So I don't know. That was interesting news for me.
Yeah, that's interesting. I would have hoped to have heard them figure out their own lessons learned. You know, we shouldn't do this again, and we wanted to put this in place. But it sounds like they just want to go with, let's go with how Microsoft does it.
Yeah, kind of passing the buck on to someone else.
Yeah.
But, Jamie, you had some pretty fun news, stuff that I am excited about.
Yeah, there was one thing I heard about this week. It came out, I want to say on the 10th or so. I'm going to be scrolling Instagram, and I happen to see through the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles page this trailer, and I was like, what is this? And it's a full animated like intro to a new game that's coming out, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, and it looks like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 arcade game for the NES and Turtles in Time. I would say it's like a mix of the two, probably leaning more towards Turtles in Time. So I'm,
yes,
it's looking really cool. It was cool to see some animation. They have the animated series theme song, and that's sung by Mike Patton of Faith No More and Mr. Bungle fame. So I thought that was really cool, because you're like, I know like it's not the original person singing the lyrics, but it was cool to have someone else. And I was like, oh, that's what that is. So the gameplay looks cool. They've said it's going to be PC and consoles, but no launch date yet is all they got. And we got to see a little bit of screenplay. So they kind of did that animated intro with the theme song and then showed maybe 30 seconds of gameplay. So I'm yeah, excited. It looks fun.
So the developer is Tribute Games.
Yep.
I'm excited because I've played a couple of their games. They specialize in the retro style games, but with modern, I guess, amenities. However you say that word.
Mm-hmm.
But the big, okay, so I have played Mercenary Kings, but they've also done other games like Flint Hook. They have also been a publisher for reviving classic franchises like Streets of Rage 4. They were a publisher for that. But the big one that caught my eye is the fact that they are the developers for Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the game.
Yep.
And I love that game. You can tell that Shredder's Revenge looks, as far as mechanically goes, it looks very, very similar to that. There is definitely a Turtles in Time vibe. And I think that is very, very intentional. What I was actually really surprised about is how geared it is towards old farts like all of us.
Yep.
Who played Turtles in Time. Because the Turtles have undergone so many design changes that, you know, it's surprising that they didn't pick up one of these newer designs or even recreated the Turtles in their own designs, but they stayed to the 90s cartoon aesthetic, which personally, you know, it's my favorite, but that's only because of nostalgia reasons. Like, that's not because I've watched all the cartoons and I can say definitively that the 90s version is better. Like, that's not me. I'm a fan of the Turtles, but I don't take in every form of Turtles media.
Right.
But the fact that they kept that art style from the 90s, the music, and the Turtles in Time vibe, and it's a retro style game, like, yeah, it's aimed for like the generation that saw the cartoon in the 90s.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, Panda Pat, have you seen this preview for Shredder's Revenge?
I need to watch it. It sounds super exciting.
It is. It's only 2 minutes. It's only 2 minutes long. They do an awesome rendition of the song.
Yeah. Oh, I laughed. That. I had to laugh when they showed April doing the karate kicks.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
So, Yeah, it's like only a minute and a half long trailer, I would say. But it gave me hope. And then it did say PC and consoles. So we'll see what consoles they decide to go with.
Yeah, I'm totally excited for that.
Yeah, but again, no release date. They said they would announce when they're closer and ready. So
yeah,
it looks fun. I'm excited. The kid in me who played TMNT, Turtles 2 and Turtles 4, the arc, you know, those. That first game though on NES, that one was rough.
That was the one with the swimming level, right?
And yeah, with the electric seaweed.
Yeah, and it was like impossible to get through it without like damaging half your life.
I think you could. It was near impossible, but I think you could.
Like your hitbox was just the same size as the free space of the seaweed. Yeah, I remember that. That game was fun too, but I don't ever remember beating it.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. It was probably one of those games where they just threw together a game to kind of go with the property. And then Turtles 2 was the arcade game that, you know, was one that I, you know, really remember playing a lot of. And that gives me, like, the best memories of playing those games.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt more like Turtles, four Turtles in Time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, and the last piece of news that we wanted to cover was, Panda Pat, you had something that you were excited about.
I think I mentioned it before, but Gears of War is releasing a new book. And I'm
nice.
Very excited because it's going to take place between Game 3 and Game 4, which is like 10 years. Well, it's longer in the game, but it's like 10 years of time for us. That I didn't have anything that was Gears related. And yeah, so it's going to take place between Game 3 when they finally defeat the Locust and Game 4 when they discover that the Ambit or Lambit has come back and the Locusts are coming back. And there's a new regime, I guess, is probably not the word for it. So I'm super excited because I have always like loved the whole relationship between Marcus and Anya. And hopefully that game is going to explore that because I'm in love with Marcus. So, yeah.
Yeah. That, how long has this novel been in the waiting? Like, I guess, or how long has,
well, I didn't even know that they were ever going to write one to take place there because, the company that Activision that owned Gears sold it after 3, and they weren't going to do anything with it. It was just going to end there. And a new company, which I don't remember, it's an offshoot of a very large company, but they're called Collation, and they basically are a company that was just offshooted to make Gears and to expand on the storyline. So I didn't think they were going to do anything else. They had some comics that they released and books that they released, but it kind of just stopped. They stopped expanding the universe. And then they started releasing new comic books when 4 and 5 came out, and now they're releasing another book. So I didn't think it was ever going to be something that they expanded on. It was probably going to be, because it definitely solidifies the story, and they have to keep to it at that point in time. They can't just make shit up what they did for 4 and 5.
Hmm.
So, but now that that's established in 4 and 5, they can probably fill in the blanks, I guess. I don't know. I love when they expand off of an idea and just keep going. Like the guy who originally wrote the idea for Gears, he had no longer has his hand in it anymore. So it's all people that are fans and stuff that are filling in the rest of this. So
that's cool. Awesome. But yeah, so unless anyone else has any other news stories, I think we've just covered the news that we kind of wanted to get through. Mm-hmm. But I really wanted to spend time on the games that we've been playing, because I think this is kind of where the majority of our conversation is going to come in at. But what games have y'all been playing? Who wants to start off with that?
Mine will probably be pretty short, so I'll go first. I haven't been playing any games. The last game I played is Marvel Ultimate Alliance and Sims. Ultimate Alliance I'm still really enjoying, but I have taken a break to, because I've been working a lot, obviously. That's always my excuse. It's a shitty excuse. but I'm enjoying it. I'm excited for Mortal Kombat as well. I did buy that on the Switch, which was a mistake. But I did specifically buy Melina so I can play with my favorite character. And then Sims, they are, what was it? They released a new pack that is called Spooky Stuff, which was probably like a month ago. So it's been a while. And apparently Bonehilda is back, and apparently you can have sex with Bonehilda, which
Sims porn.
Sims glory. Yeah. My computer is super messed up. Like, it's super slow all the time, and I don't have mods anymore, so I don't know what I did to my computer.
Like, oh, wow. When you're watching all that Sims stuff, come on, Pat.
Right. Well, I mean, I have virus protection.
I use protection.
It's getting to the point where, like, I don't think I can play games on my laptop anymore because it's going so slow. Like, I have to have it on for a while before I do anything. Obviously, I can't podcast on it anymore.
You should play Pokemon Insurgents.
Yeah, you were telling me about that last time. I'm actually in a Pokemon mood. Luke has my DS, so he's going to bring that to me Monday so I can play some Ruby and Sapphire because I'm feeling nostalgic.
Did you see that Diamond and Pearl is getting a remake?
Yes, I'm very excited because Dawn is one of my favorite female Pokemon leads.
That's awesome.
Probably is my favorite. Well, I mean, out of all of them, she's probably the one I don't know. I like that she has black hair.
Oh, so you can relate to her. That's cool.
Yeah. We have the same color hair.
Isn't that the point of the characters?
Yeah, that is the point. but I mean, I didn't like May because May was all about, like, she wanted to do Pokemon. May didn't like Pokemon. She was a shitty Pokemon character. And my cousin and his wife named their dog Misty May. And she's like, yeah, we named it after the two best Pokemon female leads. And I'm like, no.
Let me tell you why your opinion is shit.
And May didn't even want to be a Pokemon master. And Misty, despite her, her shitty character development on being in the anime, she like doesn't even like certain types of Pokemon. Like, she doesn't like bug Pokemon, and she's shitty to Psyduck, and yeah, I don't feel that way.
Yeah, she's a lot better in the manga.
Yeah.
But even then, she has like a very small role.
Yeah.
Because they kind of pass over the Cerulean badge really quickly. And then they kind of go over a little bit in the Gold and Silver arcs. Mm-hmm. But even then, it's like, it's more of a callback. So she's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Misty's not exactly one of like the better, mm-hmm. like, woman representations in Pokemon.
Right.
But,
I like.
But yes.
Serena a lot. I think they did a good job with her.
Do you know she was a villain in the manga?
I did not.
Yeah, that's she's so part of Team weird. Rocket. She's part of Team Rocket.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so in the manga.
There's got to be so much porn out there I have to find.
Oh, yeah. There is. So in the manga, so I've read. Okay, so the manga goes the Red and Blue. Mm-hmm. Saga, and then it gets into Yellow, and I stopped at Yellow, but I really want to read Gold and Silver, which is after Yellow. It's vastly different.
So
first off,
some of these I've never read the manga, so I'm gonna start.
Lieutenant Surge, Sabrina, and Koga are Team Rocket Lieutenants.
Oh, wow.
And
that's why they have the Team Rocket cards.
Yes. Yes. So they're Team Rocket Lieutenants. And Red, not Red, yeah, yeah, Red defeats them.
Mm-hmm.
But oh man, well, I'm trying to remember what exactly happens. I believe two of them, with the exception of Surge, I think two of them kind of like have a character arc where they're like, hey, Team Rocket isn't exactly like the best group to be with, because they are, they're trying to, like, Team Rocket's trying to take over the world and stuff, which is really, really powerful Pokemon, and eventually they kind of betray Team Rocket. So Sabrina is an interesting character in the manga. The other thing too is the Elite Four in the first couple of arcs aren't really a thing. They're called the Elite Four because they are a hit squad. That's what the yellow arc is about. The yellow arc, so in Red never touches the Elite Four in the manga. Yellow steps in and he's trying to find out what happened to Red because Red disappeared. And it's hinted at that the Elite Four defeated Red and have him captured. And so Yellow is trying to figure out where Red went. And Yellow's story is about defeating the Elite Four because one by one they come after him and they try to essentially assassinate him. So it's very different than the game.
Yeah.
I totally recommend you read it.
Yeah.
But Pokemon Insurgents.
Yeah, I said Serena from X and Y, not Sabrina. No B.
What was that?
Serena from X and Y.
Oh, whoops. I totally thought you said Sabrina.
That's okay. I love the history on Sabrina. That makes me super excited.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. You should check it out. I want to look up some pictures of the Pokemon Insurgents. The story behind Pokemon Insurgents is that it was made on RPG Maker,
mm-hmm.
and it's actually a legitimately good Pokemon game. And they kind of mix up the starters,
mm-hmm.
But with different types. So you get to choose between Bulbasaur, Charmander, and Squirtle.
Mm-hmm.
But Bulbasaur is Fairy Psychic, Charmander is Ghost Dragon, and Squirtle is Dark Fighting.
Ooh.
And it's really awesome how different those are. I'm going to see if I can look at the... Here we go. Yeah, I'm going to send you a link right now. I want to hear your reaction. But it's got its own Wikipedia page. So yeah, check that out. I want to hear your reaction to it.
Okay, let's see. I don't have Facebook pulled up. Let me pull it up.
So in the game, you can choose between Delta Bulbasaur, Delta Charmander, and Delta Squirtle, or you can choose an Eevee.
Mm. What is the Eevee? Oh my god, Bulbasaur is already so cute. What is the Eevee type?
Eevee's
Squirtle is a fucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Yep. That's where it comes from. So you can look down, you can see Eevee. Eevee is just is normal. The difference with Eevee is that I think you get an XY Mega Evolution Stone.
Oh, okay. Wow. They're so cute. Oh my god, I love them. Oh.
Yeah, so these, so you can tell like how much effort has gone into it.
I want Charmander to stay in the bone look the entire time, but it looks like he does not.
Well, the bone, he does keep the bone look, but the bone's color changes.
Oh, okay. I see that now. I clicked on it, so it's bigger. Yay! Yeah. I love that. I want a little skeleton Charizard.
Mm-hmm. And then they've got the Mega Evolutions down below that as well. It's really awesome. So I definitely recommend, I mean, like it doesn't require very much of your PC resources, but if you got time to kill, try it and download it.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to try it last time, but I forgot to look it up. Maybe you can send me a link to download.
Yeah, I think I actually may have it on my Google Drive. I'll send it to you after the episode.
Okay.
But yeah, so definitely check that out. Jamie, what about you? What are you playing?
I have basically just been playing Hyrule Warriors. I have also been busy with work. And then weekends, you know, just come and go really quick lately. Because usually I'm working Fridays now, or I used to have the day off. So, yeah, Hyrule Warriors and then Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity are the two I've been playing. They're pretty similar. A few mechanical changes between the two, but they're basically the same game. So I was going back and forth, and then I was doing the amiibo stuff to get the free, you know, items in the game daily. And there's a medal for that in Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition. I think it was even in the original one. So been working through that in the first adventure mode map. So I think I've completed the story or most of it. I think I'm working through the DLC stuff. But it's all part of the Definitive Edition. So just really been grinding through that over the last couple of weeks, because sometimes I just have like 20 minutes to kill. So I'll go do an adventure mode map or two and then come back to whatever I needed to go get done.
Cool. I was actually considering buying either Hyrule Warriors or Age of Calamity. And I hear that Hyrule Warriors is more fan service, where it's like, you want this Link to fight this Ganon, or do you want to play Linkle? You know, like, it's more just, like, satisfying for fans, but for Age of Calamity, it is more for Breath of the Wild fans specifically, but I hear that Breath of the Wild has updated mechanics. So I was actually curious, if I wanted to get into one or the other, and I liked Breath of the Wild, but I like other Zelda games more, but I'd be interested in trying one of these games. What would you recommend?
Oh, geez.
Minish Cap! That's my favorite.
What's that?
Minish Cap.
Oh, yeah. So out of the two, yeah, if you're looking for fan service, yeah, you probably want to go with Hyrule Warriors. I would definitely advise against completing the game. Because if you're going to really complete the game, I believe there's 42 playable characters, and the max level is 255. And I think my max character right now is only, like, not even 50. So, but there's a ton of adventure maps to go do. So you have, like, your main story in that one, and then you have different adventure maps. And originally, there was just the one adventure map, I want to say. And then when they did all the DLCs, they've added in other maps. And what they've done there is they took the original Zelda game and they laid it out in a grid. And then you have to go in and do little things on each grid. And then there's rewards that you need to beat other ones. Like, you'll get the compass. You need the compass to search an area. And then it'll put the little, like, marks over what you need to do. And then it's like a Zelda game. So if you see a big rock, you need the power bracelet to lift it. If it's the wall, you need to bomb it. And so you need to go get those items as well to unlock the secrets for that level. So there's a collect fest to it too. Age of Calamity does feel very much like a prequel that plays out in the Dynasty Warriors / Hyrule Warriors gameplay. And I'm trying to think. They feel very similar, but yeah, the mechanics are slightly different. I guess it would just depend on which one you want to go for. If you really love Breath of the Wild and want that prequel story and want to know what these games are like, I would say, yeah, you could get through Age of Calamity in like 20 hours is what I'm hearing.
That's not bad.
Yeah, and it'll give you that flair. And then if you really like dig that type of game, you could go dive into the other. But if Breath of the Wild is not really your thing and you want to try it out, I mean, Hyrule Warriors, you can play as, like you were saying, Linkle is in there. She's really fun to play as because she has the dual crossbows. And then with, like, Link, yeah, you get multiple different weapons. So, yeah, every character has multiple weapons. It becomes a weapon management thing, too. That's one of the things that becomes annoying to me is, like, upgrading all your slots for your swords and, you know, weapons that you have, spears, depending on the character. Because, yeah, after you finish a level, if you acquire a weapon, you can carry 20 weapons per character, and if you have more, you have to get rid of them. So, and then there's badges to collect and everything in that game. Where Age of Calamity went a little bit smoother route, there's just the Hyrule map, and then you can go do some quests to get heart pieces and stuff. So, I agree with what you said that the first one, Hyrule Warriors, is definitely a fan service game, and it's been fun. I've enjoyed it. I think I own it, all three versions of it at this point. I've just never finished any of them.
Have either of you played the Dissadia game?
For Final Fantasy?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I played the first one. I think I may have played the second one, but I haven't played the most recent one.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've played any of them.
I wanted to, because I wanted to like play with Cloud and stuff like that, but I just... I don't know. I tried to play the demo and it was just like, oh, this is complicated. I don't have the patience for it. So I never did.
Yeah. It's quite a different fighting game. I personally, like, I mean, they can go, I've heard it did not do super well and I don't understand why, because I have not played it and I haven't really read too much about it, but I do know that, hype for it is almost non-existent now, so I'm kind of sad that it no longer really is a thing, because I think that there's so many characters in Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of, you know, you can make an entire fighting series about it.
Right.
But I wish it was a little bit more popular, but yeah, I haven't played the newest one.
Yeah, and then, you know, I still play Galaxy Heroes. I'm actually stoked. I think I mentioned it on here, I had my first Galactic Legend. So I went with Kylo Ren. There's only four. And they're all off of basically episode 8 and 9. Mm-hmm. So there's Supreme Leader Kylo Ren, and then there's Rey, and then Jedi Master Luke, and Sith Eternal Emperor. So I went the SLKR route, and they just added Dark Troopers to the game, which is, you know, some people are really loving that character. If you've watched Mando, we think we're heading towards an event for, like, kind of the end of that season. The last season, we did season 2. I don't want to give spoilers out, even though it's been quite a few months, but I did say Dark Trooper, so there's kind of a spoiler, but not too much.
Guess who hasn't watched second season of Mando?
I haven't even finished the first season of Mando.
What?
Yeah, I haven't.
That was bad.
Yeah. So I left myself, you know, and like, I'm not saying too much. That's fine.
I've already been plenty spoiled. Most of the time, yeah. Like when people talk to me about it, they're like, have you watched it yet? And I'm like, no, but tell me the gossip.
Yeah.
I like being spoiled, especially in like stressful shows like that, because I tend to get a little too involved and it affects my mood. So if I know what's going to happen before, I don't take it as personally.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm and we're finishing our first conquest map that they just launched on March 1st, so they're running this for 2 weeks, and if I finish this other feat and get a 3-star on one other one, I should get the max rewards for this, and one of the rewards is Razor Crest shards, so that's pretty cool. So I should get the max tier crate for the normal mode, and then they're starting another one. Their thought is they'll just do one a month and then give you 2 weeks off. So that's actually taking a little bit more time too. So, and then they're going to make some changes to our challenge rank or raid, they said, which should be coming soon, which my guild can complete. It's the highest tier raid. So they took the first raid they did and made it harder. And then, so the hard part with that one is you have to coordinate everybody to do, timed attacks. So today between 5:30 and 6:30 our time where I'm at, we were, okay, go in and get your run in and hold, make sure you don't drop. And then we have a bot in our Discord that's, you know, you have to go in and put in how much damage you got. Well, the game's in airplane mode, but you have to hop over to Discord, get on Wi-Fi. It's so frustrating because every time he went down 20% damage, he ramps up speed and damage on himself. So he hits harder. So you're trying to get all the damage in it when he's the weakest that he's going to be in each phase. So, and then they're going to change that. I believe they said like for each person's run, he will slowly get faster and faster. If I remember the way that read. So that change will be coming. And then, I did send Pat all the Pokemon games I own. And with us talking about Pokemon in the 25th, I was kind of like, I need to play some Pokemon. Yeah. I just don't know which one I want to hop on.
So are those games that you want to try to play together?
Those are the ones I own. You were asking me which ones I own, so I took a picture of all of them.
Yeah, because I wanted to see if you would sell me any of them. And I was like, I don't know if I clarified that when I asked him.
But... Yeah. those are the ones I own. I did have red back in the day. I sold that to a friend's sister. They wanted a Pokemon game, and I kept my blue one.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. So what did I have? White, black two, black, white, black, black two, diamond, silver. I didn't do the, like, didn't they remake silver and gold a while ago?
Soul Silver and, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Those were the ones they made. Yeah, I was still in college. College not doing anything. Those were the ones that came with the walkers that they had were basically Pokemon Go before they did Pokemon Go, which was super cool. And they are so unbelievably expensive if you can find one with the walker. It's ridiculous. I have one that I talked a friend into giving me, which I'm really glad because trying to find it now has been so hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Then Ruby and Sapphire, that was another. And then I've got Omega Ruby there, but I don't have Ruby and Sapphire, the originals.
Yeah, I do. I do actually have those. That's the Pokemon game I want to play. That's why I need my DS from Luke. Because I want to play Ruby and Sapphire. Because that one, it was the first version of it was so freaking gorgeous. Because that's when they added in a lot more weather effects and day and night effects and things like that. So, like, there's this section, and I just absolutely love this section, where it's, like, storming really hard. And you have to run around in the storm. And there's puddles everywhere. And you can see your reflection in the puddles. And the sound to it is, like, so awesome. Like, I'm a person who loves, like, rain in real life, and this video game version totally gets me. So, I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah, and then part of me's like, do I just hop in this Sword and Shield and just play one of those? just hop on the new Pokemon train.
I got Sword. I need to actually play it, though, considering I paid full price for it.
Yeah, you should if you paid full price for it.
I do that with a lot of games, though. It's a problem I have. I'm like I was super excited for that vampire game that they worked on for like 5 years. I followed it for all 5 years. I got it when it came out, and I was so stressed out by the decisions that you need to make and like how it affects the world around you that I haven't touched it since. I've played like 2 hours into the game. I don't buy games at full price anymore because I have this problem.
Yeah.
I get overhyped.
I get it. I do that with a few things too. Quite a few things. The hard part is the FOMO, the fear of missing out, and that you like won't be able to find it later on. I've had that happen with a couple games. You're, oh, I don't want to pay full price for it. And then everyone's like, well, that was a short run game and you missed it. Sorry, pal. And you're like, no. So.
That's how I feel about the Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu. Like, I keep trying to play it, but I'm like, oh, I just... I really, like, don't like the Pokemon ball-throwing thing, and it's just not as exciting because nobody else is playing it, so... I don't know.
So I just uploaded Pokemon Insurgents for you guys. You have to download the zip. And okay. Then you have to decompress it, and then there should be an EXE file in there that you can run.
I've already got it installed on my desktop for when you told us, like, back over the summer.
Oh, yeah. Like a year ago.
Well, I needed it. Because...
Cool.
Yeah.
May you find lots of hours playing it. It's pretty good.
Thanks.
There's one modded Pokemon game that I've played a little bit of, and it's called Crystal Clear, which I've got this buddy who, he fixes all my Game Boy stuff, like my cartridges and stuff. And he actually found this game. And it was just like a piece that the guy just changed the chip out on. But this guy, who's my friend, actually put it into a case and just made it an actual, like, looking game. So it's super cool. That's the only fan-made game that I've played. I thought they were always like bad, but they're not. They're really good. I guess it's just like the Sims porn stuff. It's you know, when I say Sims porn, it's not just that. Like they added in witchcraft before they released witchcraft in the Sims world for 4. So like it's not really just porn, but porn is what most people do with it. Just so we're clear. I think I was texting Luke and I was like, I think I'm gonna make a drinking game for our listeners. Every time I mention porn, they have to take a shot.
That sounds like it would be dangerous.
Yes. I love it though.
What have you been playing, Luke? Not Luke, Mike. Man,
Luke.
I know. I was just looking at I have the push my buttons and then his chat open right above it. So I was like, Luke.
I'm sure he would take offense to that.
Oh. Yeah, he should. And so should you. Mike, what have you been playing?
So I've actually played quite a lot. I think the last time we did an episode, I spoke about Jedi Fallen Order a little bit, how it's very much a like a Dark Souls, like a very easy Dark Souls Star Wars game. I like it, but I'll probably pick it up at some point, but I put it down because I kind of wanted to cycle through some other games. So it didn't keep my interest, but I think it will the next time I pick it up. But play that for about a week, then I put it down. Then I got into Valheim. Have you guys heard about that one?
Yep.
Yeah, so Valheim was cheap, and it only takes 1 gig on my hard drive, and the system requirements are very low, so I decided I'll give it a shot. And yeah, it is not visually impressive, but that is okay because I don't really consider graphics really high up on my priority list. I am just not a fan of... I don't know what these games are called. What, survivor games?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Horror?
No, not horror. It's more of just like survival where it's like you're kind of dropped. So the concept is you're dropped into a wilderness and you have to harvest materials to build a house.
Okay.
But then kind of through like the slow resource gathering and hunting of animals and stuff, you gain more like different supplies. So like, for example, the idea is that it's in Norse mythology and you're dead, and a servant of Odin drops you in the world of Valheim, which is kind of just like an afterlife, but it is essentially like a wilderness. And they say, okay, your job is to hunt these 4 or these 5 monsters. They're essentially the bosses of the game. And you have to, you have nothing. So first thing you start to do is you need to build a shelter for yourself. So you start like harvesting wood, stones, flint, things like that to build a shelter. Then you build a bed, you put together tools. And then from those tools, you know, you can use them as weapons a little bit. You start hunting animals, you get things like leather. You can start putting together like bows and arrows and like weapons. And then from there, you can start hunting actual monsters, and then when you get other supplies, you can put those together and get ready for the boss. And then that gives you more access to other types of resources, and you continually build and build and build. And then you go across a journey to like find the other boss monsters and slay them. So it is very much in the same vein as Don't Starve, if you've heard about that one. Another common game, like a survival game. Man, I had a bunch of them in my head just a second ago. Conan, I know that Conan had it was called like Age of the Barbarian or something like that. There was a Conan survival game. But the idea is that you don't have any, you don't have anything. You have to kind of build up the resources over time and kind of make life easier for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I've seen from what the game is. The Hall, they've been playing that for a couple weeks. So It was fun to watch them. Yeah, they built their own little area, and I think Urs built a lighthouse just to have some fun.
Yeah, the cool thing about it is that it's the you create your character, right? And you get better in certain things, like, you know, using your axe as a weapon or using your axe for like chopping down wood. You get better at it. You get more yield for supplies, or you do more damage. If you fight fist to fist, you know, you get better at those things, or better at, you know, faster at swimming, running, things like that. But your character is saved separately than your game file. So you can create a new world and you throw in a randomized seed and it creates a world, but your character and the world is different. They're in different save sets. So if someone else, if one of your friends creates a world using a different seed and like, hey, play with me, you can select a character and go into their game world. So it's it makes it very easy to maneuver around and play with friends. I think that's one of the other appeals, that's so easy to work with people. And I hear that it really shines when you're working with people, with friends. But that style of game doesn't really appeal to me. So I played it, I think, well, how much did I play it? It says that I played 2.8 hours on it total. And after that, I put it down. It's one of those games that I would need to play with friends, because by myself, it just doesn't appeal. The other game that I played was Darkest Dungeon. Have you guys heard of that one?
I have not.
It's kind of an older game. It was on Kickstarter for a while. It is kind of similar in vibes to Diablo, where it's you're kind of in like a shitty world, and life is shitty, and no one wants, like, everyone is sad because the Duke of the Land opened up some Eldritch horror and it has taken over. And so you came back to claim your birthright. And Darkest Dungeon is about kind of sending adventurer mercenaries on certain missions to gain supplies for your town. You build up your town, you build up your adventurers. It is a side-scroller RPG, but the way how it works is... It's really hard to explain. Half of your window is taken up with like your characters. Your characters are big and they just move left and right. And then when they eventually run into enemies, it becomes kind of like an RPG, but you don't have like a character that represents yourself in the game. These are all characters that you hire to do missions for you. And so because of that, they can die. And so there's that. The playstyle format was really odd. I got it for like $8 on Steam because it was on sale. I played about 3 hours of it, and then I was like, nah, I kind of wanted to move on. But it's pretty bleak. If you like bleakness, it's definitely worth a shot. If you like RPGs, it's definitely worth a shot. I didn't like the way how it looked or controlled. So I decided I'm just going to play Final Fantasy XIV and Yakuza. And I have put in 40 hours of Yakuza over the past couple of weeks. And I'm getting really scared because, as I mentioned last time, it's my delicacy, right? It's one of those things where it's like Yakuza is a chocolate cake for me. And I have to eat a little bit at a time to savor it. But I've just threw away the fork and I'm just digging into it and just like gorging myself with Yakuza. And I'm like, I need to stop because I'm going to finish this game pretty soon. I don't want it to end. Yeah. So I'm trying to find another game to play. My brother sent me a game I'm going to look at called Deedlit in Wonder Labyrinth, which Deedlit is a character from an anime, an old anime called Record of Lotus War. She's like one of the main characters, and someone decided that they were going to do a Castlevania Symphony of the Night clone, but featuring Deedlit from Record of Lotus War. And from what I understand, it's very good. It's shorter. I think it's like 20 hours or something, maybe even less than that, maybe 15 hours, but they do it extremely good. So I may install that and play that because I need to get away from Yakuza. And yeah, that's pretty much what I've been in. And then Final Fantasy XIV, I mentioned that.
What server are you on?
Ultros. I don't know what data center that is.
I don't know either. I only know the data center mine's on.
Ultros is on the, let's see, because I know that you can go between servers in a data center. But I don't know which. I never do that. So I think Ultros is on the. Primal data center.
It says mine's on the Lodestone. No,
that's not it. Yeah, mine's on Primal.
Oh, I'm also Primal.
Oh wait, what server are you on?
Leviathan.
Oh, we could play together.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna have to get your info so that we can play together.
Yeah, I logged in. I haven't played for over a year because it's kind of a game I played with my ex, but I logged in last week for free login and just crafted.
We'll get in and then we'll play. I don't know how to actually jump between servers, but we'll figure it out.
I usually sign up for the multiple characters so I can make a character on your server.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe if
do it on Ultros. I'm trying to get Michelle into it, and she's not really digging it.
It took David a couple years to get me into it, but I always wanted to play a game with him, so that's kind of how it worked. I don't know. I like my character a lot.
Make a character on Ultros, and we'll play together, and I'll invite you on my guild and stuff.
Okay, sounds good.
But yeah, those are the games that I've been playing. And actually, we hit about an hour.
Yay!
Nice. I was just going to ask. I was at work. I actually went into work. It's weird to say that, right? Mm-hmm. and I was talking to someone that listens to the podcast, and they were mentioning Sinking City. And that they just had a PS5 review. But I think this game came out in 2019. Did you hear about it or play it then?
I am looking it up right now. I have not heard about it.
Okay, I was just curious if you had played it.
Sinking City? What kind of game is it?
It says it's an investigative, like, horror, from what I just quickly Googled. That's what I was just looking up super quick. Sinking, Sinking, and then City.
Oh, yeah, I will have to play it, because it looks kind of like Lovecraftian. Sweet.
Yeah, so I think it's coming back to Steam as well, is what I think he was saying. And then they just had the PS5 review, so I don't know if it's out yet or if it's coming soon. I didn't dive in too much on that one. I just happened to remember he mentioned that. So I thought I'd mention that here. Just something that you might be interested in.
Yeah, definitely. It looks pretty good. Awesome. All right, then with that, guys, I think that's the end of it. It was just pretty much a casual talk. So you guys got anything you want to plug before we call it?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Just, make sure I need to do this as well over the next week and a half to 2 weeks. Just need to game harder. Hey!
Awesome.
Okay.
All right, everyone. Well, play what you will. All right. Take it easy, everyone.
Bye. See you guys next time. Game harder.
Bye.
Somewhere in a movie studio corporate boardroom. Okay. Pitch me something good, see?
All right. There's a war. It's in the stars. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away?
That would never work. Next!
Alright, so there's an alcoholic tech billionaire, and he's captured by terrorists, builds himself a robot suit to escape, then goes on adventures saving the world with Norse gods and unfrozen World War II superhero...
Boo! Next!
Alright, this unknown boxer from Philly takes on the champ. Inspirational sports movie.
Not woke enough.
Okay. How about a podcast about movie franchises, how they get made, and whether the movies hold up or not.
Go on.
And we review the movies and talk about them?
I can put that on a lunchbox, and we'll call it Kiss Your Franchise Goodbye. It's the best idea I ever had.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Brooke.
And I'm Andy. Subscribe to Kiss Your Franchise Goodbye on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening now.
Join us every week along with special guests to discuss some of our favorite movie franchises and why the world seems to revolve around them.
Through November, we're discussing the films surrounding James Bond in a miniseries we're calling On Her Majesty's Secret Podcast.
Not just Bond, also Bond-adjacent movies like Austin Powers, Top Secret, unofficial Rogue Bond movies.
Atomic Blonde, The Rock, and some of these will be exclusive to GNN Network subscribers.
Join us with new episodes at the beginning of most weeks, barring any problems with our spy gear.
You expect me to podcast?
No, Bond. I expect you to
kiss your franchise goodbye.